Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right, hey, you guys know that I'm a wrestling coach, I'm a lifelong wrestler, and I'm passionate about the sport. That being said, all wrestlers love wrestling shoes. You got to have the best shoes. And for me, my top choice is Terra Grappler. This company's only been on the market for a couple of years, and they are making a huge impact, game changers. Ever since I started wearing Terra Grappler wrestling shoes, I have not went back to any other brands. First off, man, they look good. You got to be swagged out whenever you're wrestling, but they have to be functional. The fit and form of these shoes is tremendous. When I put them on, they have a sock liner. They absolutely mold to my foot. They feel perfect. I wear them on the wrestling mats. I wear them whenever I'm lifting weights. But honestly, I could probably wear them anywhere. They feel so good on your foot. So if you're looking for a good wrestling shoe, coaches, wrestlers, MMA fighters, boxers, weightlifters, make sure that you check out Terra Grappler. All right. They also have beanies, t-shirts, socks, accessories like that. But man, I'm telling you what, this company is innovative. They are changing the game. You can go to the link in my show notes, get yourself a little discount. You can also sign up for the Champions Club. So every time you purchase or people purchase using your link, you can get yourself a discount toward wrestling shoes and Terra Grappler wrestling gear. They are the best on the market, hands down, guarantee you. Check out the link in the show notes. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Today, I have a great guest with us. This is Nathan Tomasello, a.k.a. Nato, who was a phenomenal wrestler, one of the best wrestlers in the nation. Not was, still is one of the best wrestlers in the nation. So let me go back, I guess, a little bit to his high school, and I won't get into everything, so I'm going to let him explain it. But so four-time state champion, goes to college, national champion as a freshman, four-time All-American for The Ohio State University. Has wrestled internationally all over the world, won about everything you can think of, a part of a national championship college team for Ohio State 2015, multiple other, you know, top three finishes as a team, has been competing for Team USA, and then right now is an assistant coach for Duke University. So those are just a few. I mean, the list is long. Nathan, man, thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, so we, like I said, man, we could go on and on. So you are one of the most accomplished wrestlers in American history. And I love it, man, because right now, I mean, you're still competitive. You're still getting after it. But let's just kind of start with your background for those who are listening. Tell us about where you grew up and then maybe how you got into wrestling or even other sports.
So I grew up in Cleveland, a suburb called Parma, and about 20 minutes outside of Cleveland. And I didn't really know what the sport was growing up, to be honest. I had a friend pick up a local flyer at the high school about youth wrestling practice. And at the time, he was one of my closest friends who lived down the street, and he convinced me to come with him to practice one of the days. And at the time, I was doing other sports. I was playing soccer, baseball, basketball, football. My parents encouraged us to do a lot of different sports. So I just was like busy with all those. But one of the practices got canceled, and he convinced me to go with him and ended up going up to practice with him. And I thought it was very unique. Well, I didn't know what to expect. I only had seen the stuff on TV, and it was a lot different than what you see on TV with the WWE. so the professional wrestling, I guess. And that was in fourth grade, the middle of my fourth grade year. It was probably like in January. So the youth season was almost like halfway through, basically. So I went to practice. The coach was like, "Hey, would you want to keep going?" I'm like, "Sure." So I do the season, my fourth grade year, make the districts. And I only had wrestled probably four or five matches at that point. And then I make the district tournament, and I went like 1-2 or 2-2 and didn't make the state. And at that point, I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue. And I had another youth coach because that program ended up dropping that year. So they weren't going to have the program back. So another youth coach saw some potential in me, and invited me to come to his 3-day wrestling camp during the summer. And my mom's like, "You should just do it, even if you don't really think you stay with it." So I ended up going, and after those 3 days, the youth coach is like, "Hey, you're not leaving. You're coming to my program." So at that point, I was like, "All right." And from that point forward, it was like started putting me against some of his best wrestlers, and he asked me if I wanted to become best, and I was like, "Yeah, I think I want to try to get as far as I can." And we started going to Tulsa Nationals, Reno, and like Bighorn, Liberty Nationals, stuff like that, some of the big youth tournaments. And then I started doing better, made a state tournament, then took second in sixth grade. And then things kind of went from there, started jumping some levels, and won my first state championship as a freshman. And then after that point, I was starting to limit the amount of sports I was playing. I was only playing soccer and wrestled. And after that year, I really could kind of see the handwriting on the wall, and I got connected with another coach in the area named Brian Dolph, who was also a national champ from Indiana. He wanted to do some privates with me, and decided to just go all in with it and just started focusing primarily on wrestling after my freshman year. And so fast forward, going into the college scene, I wasn't quite sure which team I wanted to represent or college. So I took a lot of visits, had a couple close people around me, kind of looked at different schools, and ultimately Ohio State felt like it was the right move. And there's a lot of potential there. Kyle Snyder had committed, Bo Jordan, and I knew that the team was up and coming. So I made that commitment, and then I redshirted along with Bo Jordan. And then when Kyle came as a true freshman, we both started, and we had a kind of an up and down year as a team, but things kind of fell into place. We started really pulling together. By the end of the year, we won the Big Ten championship, which was in Columbus that year, which was amazing. Had a great like bunch of fans that came. It was the loudest St. John had ever been, I thought. And then team was rolling. I felt like I was hitting my groove. And then next thing you know, we go to nationals and start pulling away with it as a team. I started wrestling well and we ended up winning the nationals. And at that point I was like, it was probably one of the best moments of my life. Mm-hmm. Just from being around the team, fans, my family came, and just the euphoric moment afterwards of just celebrating with everyone. And then the rest of my college career was pretty incredible. You know, we were ranked really highly as a team. I was ranked highly as a competitor in my weight class. And it just kind of goes fast, especially when you got class going on, practice, the season goes, it kind of flies by. And now I'm 2.5 years removed from the college season scene. It's just kind of crazy to think about. And but just you're surrounded with great people, and you have that will to continue with the sport, and it just it just was something that was a really good chapter of my life.
Yeah. So at what point, you know, when you start wrestling in fourth grade and then you, you know, start like really taking more serious and getting successful, but at what point did you like make that mental decision or heart decision and kind of the identity, like, I'm a wrestler, man, this is who I am. At what point did you do that?
Yeah. Man, I would say probably going into that fall, because our high school had a good soccer team as well, and they had taken second at the state that previous year, and I was slated to be a starter going into my sophomore year, and it was like they really wanted me to decide. I was like, I want to do some preseason stuff this year, wrestle at Super 32 and stuff like that, and they're like, well, you can't be practicing, can't be double dipping, you got to focus on the one thing if you want. And they're pretty strict about that. And it was just kind of like at that point, I had to really, really think through about that decision, because I was like, you're not going to please everyone. You know, there's going to be people that want you to do the soccer, and there's other people that from the wrestling community that want you to focus on the wrestling. And for me, it was like, I had won that state championship, and I knew that being a four-time state champ was pretty rare. So I was thinking a little bit about that. But I was also thinking about kind of the recruiting, because the recruiting letter started coming in pretty early. I took fourth at the Ironman that year. And it was like, that was a big tournament. I had taken third at Fargo. So it was like starting to make a name for yourself. And it was like, I started thinking like, hey, I could see myself going into college and doing pretty well in this. And I wasn't a big guy. So I realized like soccer might not be in the cards if I wanted to get a scholarship. So you just kind of think through that. And then at that point, I was like, I was so intense about it, so focused. I was like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to be a wrestler. I want to be known as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of the moment where I was just like all in. And it was just like a lifestyle for me. I didn't go out party. It wasn't super social. I was just focused on preparing for a tournament, the next tournament that was coming up. So,
yeah. So I get to, and it's a blessing and it's good for me too. But I get to interview a lot of high performers in various areas, wrestling and business, a lot of other areas. But one thing I know for certain is like there's no quick pathway. You can't just skip over hard work and dedication and all those things to be successful in any area. So for you, like, starting in high school, being an elite athlete, and then of course we all know, like, when you wrestle in college, man, it's a whole nother jump up. But what are some of the things that you did whenever you went all in, like, as far as workouts, the way you ate, like, what are some of the things you feel like kind of got you to the next level as a high school athlete and then as a college athlete?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, for me, it was like, tracked my weight, I'd eat clean, wouldn't eat processed foods, be like vegetables and clean meats and stuff like that. And it'd be planned out throughout the week, the diets. I wouldn't get to bed later than 10, even on the weekends. And I worked out so much. I would say sometimes too much. I loved working out. I was obsessed with it. So in high school, I'd wake up in the morning, run, go to school, we wrestle. Then I get maybe another evening workout, whether it was a cross training workout, or I go to my club, wrestle in the evenings at my club, an hour away from the school I attended. So it's like, I did that a lot in high school, was really focused on that. And it was just like, didn't really have too much of a social life. And it was just like, all right, we got Super 32 coming up. Now we got the Ironman coming up. Now we got some holiday tournament coming up. Then it was like, you had the state tournament. Then it was like, all right, now you transition to freestyle season. Now you have the junior feelers, cadet feelers going on. Then you have Fargo, you have junior duels, cadet duels. And it was just like, it probably the only time I took time away was right after Fargo, like late July, early August. Then it was like, all right, prepare for the Super 32 in October. Mm-hmm. And it was like that for 3-4 years, I would say. And my brother and sister kind of got used to it because it was like they knew I was pretty, especially when I was cutting weight, I wasn't in the best moods. You're grumpy and stuff like that. And so they kind of got used to me being that way a little bit, and they just joke about it now because it's like, yeah, Nate's cutting weight, yada, 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 you know. And it's just like, but the one advice I would probably have if I were to do it again is probably not to cut much weight in high school and cut less weight in college, because it just beats your body up, beats your mind up a little bit. And I don't think it's quite as necessary as I thought. That I feel like back in the day, that's what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I like hearing that as a high school coach, and same thing, man. I mean, you know, when I got in college, I feel like I kind of became a nutrition expert because I wanted to maintain as much muscle mass as I could with low body fat, stay as healthy as I could, and all those type of things, but it's still tough, man. So I love hearing you, an elite wrestler, talk about that. If you go back, you wouldn't cut quite as much, because I think a newer generation, younger kids come up, maybe they don't have that mindset, but if they come from a wrestling family, a lot of times they feel like they got to cut a bunch of weight because that's what dad tells them they got to do and things like that. And now we know, and I don't know, man, I think also I competed in jiu-jitsu for a long time. So looking at that, like, you don't always get to go against somebody your weight. And like in wrestling, we're like, oh man, like 5 pounds is a huge difference. And, you know, ultimately, if you continue to develop your skill set over and over and over, can size make a difference? Yes. But, man, just become a better wrestler, you know. And especially I think these high school kids, a lot of times they become focused on being a great weight cutter and they don't become the wrestler they could be. So I like to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with that. It's just like you want to be in the room when you're in the room focusing on the skill that you're trying to learn, as opposed to just using it as a weight cutting practice to burn off calories and lose it. And it's just, then it's like, you're just, that's the only thing you're focusing on. You know, you're not really picking up any of the skills that they're teaching. So it's like, yeah. And it's like, you just don't want to have that old school mentality approach. Like, hey, if I shrink down to this weight, I'll be really good, you know? Cause it's like, yeah, you'll probably be one of the bigger guys at one point, but you'll be depleted, you'll be tired, and you just won't be able to perform that well. And that's what I think I've learned, I would say, over the years. So,
yeah. Now you're a phenomenal technician. I mean, I've watched videos of you breaking down techniques, and of course watched, you know, a lot of your matches, but beyond being a great technician, dude, you're a ball of muscle. So those who are just listening to this on a podcast, it'll be on YouTube as well, but all you got to do is look up some videos. So how much did strength training play a part in your career? And at what point did you kind of fall in love with that too, man, along with the actual wrestling practices and stuff? And I mean, I've seen your guys' Ohio State training, but for you, like if you were going to give advice to wrestlers, I mean, are we talking like powerlifting in the off season, or is it all functional training? You have a wide variety of knowledge here. So tell us about like strength training.
Yeah, so the funny thing is I never did actual Olympic style lifting. I've never learned that, which is crazy, because the guys at Duke, the coach there, that's all they do. Mm. So I'm like trying to pick their brains on it and stuff like that. I just did the conventional like squat, deadlift, front squat, lunges, stuff like that. But I would say in high school, I just became obsessed with it. I did it like four or five times, especially in the summer. Another thing that kind of motivated me was when I was being recruited, I was kind of small, and I had one or two guys kind of tell me like, hey, you're really talented, but I don't think you'll ever be big enough for 125. And it was like, at that point, I'm like, are you kidding me? That was like after my sophomore year, because I wrestled 103 my freshman and sophomore year in college or in high school. And then I went up to 13 and I wrestled 120 my senior year. And it was like, between the sophomore and junior year and junior and senior year, those summers, I just strictly focused on like lifting a bunch of weight and being up in the gym. I just fell in love with how I felt afterwards, you know, after you feel after strength training. And it was like, I just felt like I put on a good amount of mass, and I wasn't afraid to eat a lot too. I feel like some kids, they just don't have big appetites. Like I feel like I've had a big appetite. So it's like, eat a lot of quality carbs and protein, and then you lift four or five times. And it doesn't have to be like this perfect lifting schedule, you know, like you hit every body part throughout the week, you hit 3-4 sets of it, 6 or less reps, some of the accessory stuff, you hit a little bit more reps, and it's like, you're going to put on some mass, you know? I think that's the thing of these kids. I feel like you're looking for a silver bullet, but it's like most of my strength training was just picking people's brains at the gym about it and then just coming up with a strength plan that I felt like was good for me, you know? But it wasn't like I was working with a professional coach for a while. So I think those were some of the things I would say to young guys. Then it's just like knowing the form. Like, you don't want to deadlift and squat if you don't have really good form either, especially if you're doing heavy weight. And I don't even think you need to do super heavy until you really start, I would say, maturing, probably sophomore, junior year. And then you can start doing lower reps, higher weight. And then it's like you want to have good form, have a belt, stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, the four things I would say for wrestling that are the most important are your hip strength, so your hip power. So hitting legs, that's one. Your upper back, pulling guys, constantly pulling, using your upper back, so your lat muscles. So developing, my youth coach would always have me do pull-ups every day. I do it before I go to bed, so I did that a lot. So your upper back, your core, so you don't get pushed around. Your core strength has to be really good. It's a lot of different core activations, sit-ups, just stability stuff, planks, whatnot. So your core needs to be really strong, and then your grip, because you're constantly squeezing. So those are the four things I thought that need to be really important for wrestling.
Yeah, very good. All right, so you mentioned, you know, whenever you guys won that national title at Ohio State, you know, it was kind of some ups and downs, and you guys really started kind of come together as a team. And I just interviewed Coach Ryan earlier this week, who's a phenomenal person. And so tell me a little bit about, like, because I'm a big believer in building relationships, man, as a coach in business, whatever else I'm in, building relationships. But what was some of the culture like in the room? And now that you are a coach, man, like, how big is culture? And tell me about some of the ways that was built.
Yeah. I would say when I first got to Ohio State, the culture was still kind of riffraffed. There was some guys that weren't living a really disciplined life, and I think the culture wasn't super strong, and so they were doing all right. I think they had taken eighth the year before I got there, so they had cracked the top 10, but, I mean, there were people just doing stupid stuff outside the room, and Coach Ryan had to let a couple people go, yada, yada. And it was like, I would say when Bo and I myself got there, when Kyle got there, he named all three of us freshmen captains, which hadn't been heard of probably for a long time. So that was kind of crazy. And then Logan was a senior at that point, so he was the other captain. It was like, I think that kind of established more of a culture that was just really focused on winning and doing the right stuff. So all four of us kind of had our unique traits that made us great, and mixing all of them together helped kind of keep everyone else, I feel like, in line, and it started making people believe. Mm-hmm. And then when you start having people believe in what you're doing, culture starts changing. People start uplifting one another, training together, and focusing on preparing for a battle, another battle, another opportunity to compete and stuff like that. And it's just like really exciting in that sense. And I just could see kind of the team start coming together instead of just cliques and stuff like that.
Yeah. That camaraderie in college, man, it's so, anywhere, but just thinking back to my college days, it's so huge, you know, whenever you're close with your teammates and you're willing to go to war for them too, man. You're willing to go to battle for them. You're not just doing it for you. So that's huge. Now, you know, having competed on the highest levels, tell me a little bit about your mindset. You know, lots of people whether they're little kids or college athletes or whatever, they deal with nerves. Maybe they don't perform up to their ability. Maybe they're better in practice than they are actually competing, things like that. What are some of the things that you've done for your mindset, and how do we improve our mindsets, man? Like, so tips and tricks from NATO.
Yeah. So some of it just comes down to believing in the work you're putting in, training with guys that are tough, that are pushing you, and believing that you're pushing yourself to get to that next level. And I think that's one of them that's really important, is just like, it's how hard you push yourself, you know. Are you taking shortcuts, or are you actually training really hard, pushing your body, pushing your mind? So I think believing in trusting your training is definitely one of them that I've relied on a lot in high school and in college. It was like, I was going to outwork whoever I was going to compete against. And that's what I firmly believed. I was like, you're not going to out-train me. And when I got out to the competition, I knew I'd out-train the guy. And that just gave me confidence that overcame some of my nerves that I had. And then it's just when those come in too, it's just like affirmations, like having affirmations for yourself. Hey, I'm really strong. My high crotch is unstoppable. My feet are fast. They're always moving. I'm unstoppable. I can go 7 minutes and break the guy. Stuff like that. Just things in your mind that you repeat in your mind that you say, hey, like, this is what I can do. This is who I am. This is me. So then when you walk out to the competition, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready to go. I'm excited to compete. And then once you slap hands and hit the guy, and most of those nerves kind of go away, I think. So it's just the anticipation of it. It's just like combating a lot of negative thoughts and the nerves, which just affirmations, positive thinking, and just trying to relax, breathe through what you're going through, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, so incredible college, high school athlete, college athlete, and then get on the international scene and you know, trying to make the ladder and the U.S. team and all those type of things. What's that like? Because, you know, as a high school and college wrestler, it's like a constant grind in your wrestling, like dual meets, tournaments, and the international, like, you don't get to wrestle as much, right, in your training. So kind of what's the transition there, and what are some of the things that you do to be really good at that level? How's it different?
Yeah, you hit it. You hit the nail. It's a lot less competitions. It's a lot more training camps, prepping, preparing, stuff like that for different competitions. And you only compete probably 3-4 times, 5 times a year, as opposed to 35 times in a season. And it's just like, a lot of it's more just your training, focusing on a skill that you're trying to develop during the training cycle. And you go in different places, the training, and it's a lot more individualized as opposed to a team, you know. And I think that's the difference between, I would say, the college and the international. More it's just what you need, what are you trying to develop skill wise, how you're trying to get better in this area, and bringing in partners and stuff like that. And then just competing against some of the guys that you competed at in college that were really good. You know, at that level, there's not that many people left competing. Mm-hmm. More of it's just guys that were really good that still want to keep going. So I think that's kind of what I've experienced at that level, that, and just giving your body more time to recover. I would say in college, you're young, you can train a lot harder. You don't need as much time to recover. And now it's like, you're older, you have more time, your body needs to recover from different workouts, and same thing from tournaments and stuff like that. And I kind of learned that the hard way, I would say. I was always a go-getter, really wanted to keep pushing through stuff. And it was like, I had my first injury my sophomore year in college. And then the last 4 years, I've had 6 surgeries. So it's just been coming back quickly from different injuries, and then just leading to a different injury because your body's trying to compensate for something else. I think it's just like making sure that you're listening to the doctor, especially if you go through an injury, because it's almost inevitable in the sport of wrestling, just because how physical it is and combative it is, that you're going to get an injury. Mm-hmm. So
we talked to, and you know, aside from being a high school coach, I also work for Wrestling Mindset, and I have a lot of, you know, athletes around the nation that I train and work with. And yeah, like you said, injuries are part of it, man. I've had multiple surgeries myself, you know, because of wrestling, and it's tough. It's really tough. It's a lonely place a lot of times. And so we talk to them about focusing on what you can control versus what you can't. For you, and you got to be mentally strong, and it can kind of break you or it can make you, those type of things. But when you're coming back from an injury, or you're currently in the midst of an injury, whatever, what are some of the things that you do to keep yourself going? I think it's a skill that a lot of people have never been taught. They just get thrown in the middle of it and they're just trying to deal with it.
Yeah, I would say listen to the physical therapist, what you can and can't do. And then it's just like, same thing in the room, you're trying to challenge yourself. It's the same thing with your physical therapy. You try to set different things that challenge you, you know, like being creative with the training. You know, like if I hurt my knee, I would still bike. I'd bike with my other leg, and I would do like upper body weight training as I'd bike. So I'd do like flies, presses, raises, stuff like that. And I'd be biking with one of my legs, so my heart rate would still be going up, and I was still using my other limb. Or be like using the oob to get the heart rate up, or be kind of like just upper body strength training, visualization, stuff like that. So just different things that you did that basically kept you kind of still tough, but you couldn't wrestle.
Yeah.
And just taking it day by day as you get back into things, you know. And some of it's the first couple of weeks, I would say, after surgery, especially if you're on crutches or something like that, is just the toughest. Because then it's like you can't really do much of anything, so you're bored a lot.
Yeah.
So watching guys wrestle and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a difficult place to be. So I think it's good to have somebody, like you said, to at least have an idea of some things you should do. Maybe have somebody to talk to during that process. And then, like you were saying, you know, man, being creative. So, all right, switching gears here a little bit. Faith, man, tell me about what role faith plays in your life in general. And you are a person, I mean, we can follow your social media and know exactly where you stand. So, which is awesome. You are using your platform phenomenally, but tell me about faith.
Thanks. Faith's the biggest thing in my life. You know, I think from a young age, I've had a lot of mentors that have poured into me that have just been men and women of God. And it's like the wrestling ends at a certain point in your life, but your faith journey always continues. And it's like anytime I talk to one of my mentors, like, get your nose in the book, keep focusing on God, because he knows your future, you know. And it's just like, and that's the thing, like, it's helped me. It's like, wake up, that's the first thing. When I wake up I read some scripture, pray, and just thank God for another day. You know, it's like, it's just the blessing of waking up, you know, and being able to function and move and stuff like that. Just those are the kind of the blessings that we take for granted that we shouldn't, you know. And then just having, for me, it's like, I want to keep learning, you know, I want to keep learning and hearing some of the things and be involved with Bible studies and keep learning from different people's perspectives. And then just, yeah, you know, your faith journey is a continual process, you know. And it's just, I think it's the same thing with wrestling, you know, like, go through some peaks and valleys. It's not a steady upward trajectory. It's kind of like wavy. I think it's the same thing with your faith, you know. Sometimes you hit a plateau or you're in a valley, and then next thing you know, your faith really grows because you're relying on God through what you're going through, you know. And I think that's the thing I've realized, same thing in my wrestling journey. You're like, you have wins, you have losses, but it's like, it's just a journey, you know? And so I've incorporated that into my faith, because it's like the faith for me is so important. And then just sharing that, having the opportunity to talk about God to people is so important, because it's like, this life feels long at points. I mean, I look back, like, high school, I'm like, man, high school seems like forever ago. But it's like, it goes by quick too at the same time. So it's like, we're talking about eternity here. We're trying to get people, as many people as we can to eternity, you know, with God. And that's what I believe that he calls us to do, is talk about our faith and share that's the most important thing in our life, you know? So
when did you give your life to Christ?
It was Christmas time, my freshman year. So,
or college,
high school.
Okay.
Yeah. So I grew up, my parents were Catholic. I went through the Catholic system a little bit, and I never really thought of it as a relationship with Christ. It was more just, you went to church, you did the hymns, you did kind of the rituals, stuff like that. But then it was like, I got to CBCA and it was like, they just loved you. They cared about you as a person. It wasn't just because you're good at athletics and stuff like that. And I was just asking questions about that. I was like, why is it that they are like that? And we started having classes every week for Bible studies. And we had chapel and individual small groups. It was the first time I'd experienced that. And it was like, I just started asking questions, like, and they were talking about having this relationship with Christ and personal relationship. And I was like, what the heck's that?
Yeah.
And it was like, the more I was around it, the more I wanted to be a part of it. Mm. It was like, by the end of that first semester, I was like, man, like, I want to give my life to Christ. How do I do that? And then it was like, from that point forward, it changed how I felt like I competed. Is more every time I competed, it was every time I trained, is for God's glory. You know, it wasn't just for me getting as many accolades as I want as I could, because obviously the accolades are awesome. But it's like every time I trained, every time I went stepped out and I competed, it was like, this is for you, God. I'm going to compete with all my might to glorify you. And it was like, that's where I felt like he had given me success, because I wasn't the most athletic guy. There's a lot more athletic guys, I think, on the team, but I just, my heart, I was so focused, so determined that it was like, I was willing to do whatever it took. And I think that's what really separated me a lot in high school and college.
Mm. Yeah, that I didn't give my life to Christ till I was a freshman. So really, really built a relationship with Jesus when I was a freshman in college. And competition completely changed for me. So it was no longer wrestling just for accolades or to try to be the best. It was literally like representing God every time I stepped on the mat, every time I trained, all those things. And so it's a whole different mindset, man. And it's awesome. And it's still tough, right? Wrestling's wrestling and it's still tough, but you know, whenever you're doing it for a bigger purpose, it's awesome. Now, while you were in high school, while you were in college, were you involved with like FCA or any organizations like that?
Yeah, Athletes in Action was pretty big on campus at Ohio State. So Every Wednesday we had a study with all the athletes. I was there almost every week for that. So Athletes in Action was important at Ohio State. And there were some FCA events that I went to, but it wasn't quite as big as Athletes in Action at Ohio State. So that was definitely the one thing that I would say I was involved with pretty religiously.
Yeah, it seems like up north, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota, Athletes in Action is pretty big. And then we don't have it as much down here in the Midwest where I'm at. It's a lot more FCA opportunities around here. But so you go and this past year go to Duke as a coach. How did that journey happen? What made you decide to apply for that job or to go and be part of the Duke program, which has like come so far in the last 5 or 6 years? It's crazy. But so how'd that journey happen?
Yeah, so I was at a tournament in Cuba. It was back in February. And Jacob Casper was actually on that trip. He's an Ohio guy as well. We've known each other for a while. And he just asked me kind of what I was thinking about doing after the trials and what I thought I wanted to do. And I was like, well, I think I would like to try out some coaching and just be involved in a program, kind of help mentor kids, teach them, show them moves, stuff like that, and just make an impact. So I felt like once you graduate, you're obviously, if you want to keep going, you're a part of it, but you kind of aren't. you're like an RTC athlete, but like you're kind of doing your own thing. And so I was like, man, I think I'd like to try coaching. And it was like, that was the first time I really kind of was thinking about doing that. And then COVID hits, I get injured. And at that point I was like, I think it's time for me to make another step and be involved with the sport in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thought about it a lot this summer. And I was like, yeah, I think I want to do that right now in my life and see if I like that. And so I went down, I think in July, looked at the college, talked to the head coach, Glenn, talked to him about things a lot. And it's just like, it just felt like it was the right opportunity to kind of jump into college coaching and see if I like that. And just being away, and I felt like God was calling me to kind of jump a little bit outside my comfort zone. I've been in Ohio my whole life, so it was like seeing kind of what things look like away from Ohio. And so I decided to make the move and got in there August, and we've been working on different things from August till now. And it's been different process, I would say. It's been cool kind of coaching these guys and helping them learn and giving back in that sense. And it's just, it's been cool. You know, I think it's been really unique, and these kids are really smart because they go to Duke. So it's like, they listen to a lot of what you go through in your wrestling career and then what you're telling them and teaching them. And it's just like pretty cool, you know? And I think a lot of them have made some pretty good strides.
Mm-hmm. Do you think as you're coaching and mentoring these guys, that's helping you become a better wrestler?
I think it's helping become a better leader and someone that I would say is picking up a couple of different unique things as a wrestler too. Like some of these kids have some pretty cool stuff. Like Josh Feinseller was showing me a couple of his tricks he did from getting to a pick. And it was like, yeah, that's pretty unique. You know, you kind of understand like, hey, this body type works well for this person. Mm-hmm. And how do I understand my body type? I was short, stocky, so I knew to stay tight inside the guy, wrestle him really tight and use my power to my advantage. If you got a longer, lengthier guy, like, hey, you work more from the outside, you use your length, leverage a little bit more. How do you do that? You know, so it's just figuring that out for them is pretty unique, you know? So you just start figuring out kind of like what works for them. And then obviously they just want to learn. So it's like really cool, because you just like, whatever you kind of tell them, they just try to suck it up like a sponge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know one of my college coaches said, he was like, I wish I could have a point where one of my athletes could coach for a year and then come back and compete. And just because you gain a different perspective mentally, you see things
exactly,
you know, which is great.
Exactly. Now, I think that's a good thing. You know, the pressure's off too. You know, I feel like when you, obviously every time you try to compete, there's some pressure that you go on, but then it's like, you're not competing. So then it's like, there's no pressure. So you can kind of really enjoy just the art of it, the art of the wrestling, you know, as opposed to just, hey, you got to make weight, got to have this period of peaking for the thing, you know, but now it's just like, all right, we're going to the practice, we're working on this technique. Developing this technique, you know, it's really cool in that sense. So yeah, it's good. I would say sometimes it takes some time, just work on that.
Mm. Now, where are you at in your competitive career? I mean, are you still, what big goals do you have out there? Or are you like, hey, I want to move more toward coaching? Where are you at there?
Yeah, right now I'm just going to stay focused on the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm going to compete next couple years or not. You know, right now I've just enjoyed kind of the coaching side of things, doing some other things that I enjoy. Like I've been doing this woodworking class, which is just so much fun. I like working with my hands. So like building cornhole boards, we're building this bench, building this small house. So it's just been fun. Just doing some more self-discovery, I would say. Because for 16 years, it's been focused on competition. And right now I feel like I'm just trying to really kind of rediscover what excites me every morning. Mm-hmm. Obviously the wrestling's been that, competing's been that, but I would say just rediscovering some things about myself that going forward, it'll be good to kind of keep growing in that sense, you know? So I know that I'm still young. I still can jump back in if I want to keep competing, but right now just taking a break's been really nice, actually.
Yeah. It's good to hear. And I know that your identity is found in Christ. It's not found in wrestling, but so many athletes, you may have been caught up in this. I don't know. I can say for myself, I've been caught up in this where you begin to, even if you don't think you are, you base a lot of your identity on your success as an athlete, or even in coaching, you can get caught up in basing your identity on your success as a coach. And of course we know that whenever you don't win, then that can be crushed a little bit, right? So it's about keeping that perspective. So I love hearing that you are sort of on the rediscovery process right now, continues to grow as a person, find things that you enjoy and excite you. So I love hearing this, because not that you can add every habit in the world, but when you study successful people, they often have these really great habits. What's like a day life or a day in the life of Nathan Tomasello, like morning routine, workout, like what are the things that are non-negotiables in your day that you feel like keep you at a high level?
Yeah. A lot of times I like to wake up, do some kind of fasted cardio, you know, before I eat breakfast, I like get like a 30, 40 minute bike in or some kind of like cross training just to break a sweat, get my body moving. But even before that, like I said, I wake up, I got to read some scripture. I feel like it keeps me focused still and just knowing like, hey, like this is going to be a good day. So I read some scripture, do some praying, and then start really getting myself going. I try to meditate too. I know that's been important as far as a lot of good health benefits in that. You just staying in the moment. I think that's been big. And then, yeah, working out. I love working out in the mornings. So before I even have breakfast, I usually work out and then have some breakfast, and then I have some down time. So for me, it's like, a lot of times I try to read some other books, different authors, different people. A lot of it's like nonfiction related stuff. And then, another non-negotiable for me is like, I try to stay connected with people and honestly text people, see how they're doing, you know, because for me loyalty and friendships are really important. So like I usually text someone, ask how they're doing, especially if I haven't talked to them in a while. So I've been trying to focus on that from that aspect of things. And then using the afternoon as some other workout, whether it's wrestling, like we've had 8 a.m practice, so it's like every morning we've had 8 a.m practice at Duke. So it's like that's when I'll go up, either coach with them or wrestle with them a little bit. And then we'll have some down period. I'll do some reading, do some recruiting possibly. And then I usually go up, I'll wrestle possibly at UNC or do some other workout in the afternoon. And then usually in the evenings, I try to schedule a Bible study every week. There's two different groups that I've been connecting with, one with NC State and this other one that's just a local church group at Duke or in the area. So a Bible study like once a week. I kind of miss just meeting with people. Yeah. I've been able to meet with some people at NC State. But the Zoom's kind of tough because the community I miss a lot. So Bible studies, and like I said, I've been doing some different woodworking and other things. So been doing that in the evenings. And then usually at night, I try to have a nighttime routine to kind of let your body unwind, relax. So it's like usually like 2 hours before I shut down technology, get rid of anything. So it kind of starts slowing my brain down a little bit, start writing down kind of what my expectations are for the next day, and then start reading a little bit, some scripture or another book or something like that. And then do some breathing. And then usually I try to fall asleep by 10 o'clock. And so, and then I usually try to eat 4 or 5 smaller meals throughout the day if I can. I think that kind of keeps my metabolism going, keeps my body burning. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's an excellent routine. A lot of the things that you're doing right there, things that many of the high level performers I talk to incorporate into their day. So their prayer and scripture reading, meditation, breathing, and all those things. And then the other, you know, regular duties that you're going to have with your job and stuff like that. But all right, man, last thing here. You're a wrestler, you're an athlete, got to have fast feet. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot, got to think quick. And you get to pick. You can either address all three of these or you can just pick one, expound upon it. But tell me about a hero, a highlight, or a hardship in your life that really stands out to you. Hero, highlight, or hardship?
Wow. Man. Anything that comes to mind. Probably hardship was my first bad injury, tore my rotator cuff joint caps on my shoulder, and had to have my first open surgery. And at that time, my grandpa was a pretty big, important part of my life. He had been to a lot of my wrestling matches, my state championship matches, and was at my national championship my freshman year. And this was after my sophomore season. He ended up dying at the time too. So it was like, get my first injury. I took third at nationals, didn't win it that year. And I have this big major injury I have to come back from because I tore my rotator cuff at the national tournament, tried to wrestle through it at the Olympic team trials, and then had to get the surgery. My grandpa passes away. And it's like, at that point in my life, I was like questioning, like, hey, do I keep going with this wrestling? My shoulder, the doctors tell me that this surgery isn't a good one. It's tough for people to come back from. And I think from that, at that point, I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back from this. I'm going to rehab like crazy. I'm going to make this summer of just pushing myself in other ways besides just the wrestling. And it's like some of the ways I was telling you about, I was trying to incorporate, like I started going with a bike group with Tom Ryan, going up with these guys in the early mornings, biking outside with these guys, training my legs and just doing other things at the time that kind of kept me focused, kept me busy. And it was like, I slowly started making progress back. And then next, you know, December hits, I start getting cleared to compete. My first tournament back is the Cliff Keen Nationals and the winning the Cliff Keen. And it was just like, from that point forward, I started really making some more gains in my wrestling. And it was like, just overcoming that kind of injury was just big and mentally, like, hey, like you get injured, you can come back from, even if it's one of the toughest injuries, like it's a lot, unless the doctor tells you, hey, this is, you'll never be able to compete. Like, if your heart's still in it, just keep believing in yourself, you know, believing that God's giving you this gift and it's time for you to just do what you can, own the things you can to, in order to grow and be the best you, you know. And it's just like, and then I started doing some more of it to honor my grandpa, you know, because he was the one that was really big impact in my life. So every time I, besides going out representing Christ, I think about my grandpa when I stepped out there, you know.
Yeah. So. Very good. Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, life's full of peaks and valleys, but man, a lot of good often comes once we've gone through the valley, and then we're able to find a positive and a direction out of that, you know. So many people have these amazing comeback stories, or just almost like a 180s that happen after they've gone through some adversity. Which is always great to hear, because it's going to happen in life, right? So it's good to hear that. So Nathan, man, I thank you for being on. I appreciate your time. Where can we follow you, like on social media, things like that, so we can be inspired?
Yeah. So my Twitter handle, Instagram handle is just _NA_TO. So I try to post as much as I can. I'm not super big into the social media, so. It's not super consistent, but those are some areas you can follow me. And then do kind of cover some of my technique. Same thing with Rudis. So following Duke Wrestling, follow Rudis, and they'll cover some of the stuff in that sense as well. So
I'll make sure that I put those in the show notes. I'll put those links in the show notes so people can follow you. And for all of our wrestling people out there, they can watch your technique like I do, jump on there and watch it so I can implement those things with my athletes. But again, man, thank you so much for being on. It's been a blessing and an honor.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Chip.
All right. Hey, everybody that's listening, thank you so much. This has been Nathan Tomasello. Please go ahead and share this out. Any wrestling people you know, anybody that needs some inspiration in their life, and may God bless you, shine his face upon you. And until next time, peace. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. That's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, T-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop.